It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with my co-host, and actually I'm the host of Speak Out and the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'll get it right, Dan. It's Dan De Los Santos.
It's coming.
And go figure, because it's number 50, I screw up the intro, right? Show number 50, can you believe it?
I know, right?
Crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. We started out 50 shows ago, and it has been an amazing journey getting in touch with all the people that helped create our community. I want to thank all our guest speakers over those 50 shows. One of our first shows was actually done with Michael McCulloch.
Right.
So really want to thank he and the family for coming aboard to help us inaugurate the show in the beginning. And today...
Probably should recognize one person.
Sure,
though.
Go ahead.
Right? Two people.
Well, okay.
Mr. Greeley.
Oh, Mr. Greeley, for giving me the show.
Right. you guys kind of created it, right?
Well, we did. I think we did that in a very brief period of time.
Right.
And he actually said, well, do you want to think about it? I says, no, I'm ready to go. Let's do the show tomorrow.
And then a name
so
from the
thank
past.
You, needless to say, thank you, Steve Greeley, for that.
And then a name from the past, Kevin Shepherdson.
Well, you know, Kevin started the show with me. He was the co-host with me in the beginning, and I can't thank Kevin enough. You know,
he's
it's
like
really,
a pioneer himself, isn't
well,
he?
Well, he is. So it was really easy to get into the groove with the show because Kevin already knew so much of the history. So together we really started off with those first several shows with crashing success. So
we're going to talk like we do a lot with Dan about watercraft today. But these are old watercraft from what I understand, right?
Well, you know, there is a history, of course, with all our watercraft here in Lake Havasu. And it's part of the community, if you will. And this particular boat was, quite frankly, what I consider one of the first homemade boats here in Lake Havasu City. And this was, of course, the Miller's Folly. And we have our guest speaker today, Jay Coombs, who is the gentleman who pioneered putting together the Lake Havasu City Museum of History's exhibit for the Miller's Folly. He painstakingly... built the model for this thing.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, is anybody who's ever done a model for a museum knows that it is one of the most challenging aspects
really
there is to do, because all of a sudden you find yourself into detail that is required in order for the boat to not be meticulously scrutinized by people who know the boat, right?
Right, right.
And Jay just did a really great job, Jay. Jay, how are you doing today?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate the invitation.
You
appreciate the opportunity.
You can hear yourself okay?
I can.
Okay, great.
Well, you know, it's been a journey, and Jay and I have known each other for a while, and certainly you've got a huge history here in Lake Havasu. When did you get here?
I moved here in the summer of 1965.
Wow.
I was 15 at the time, just going into my sophomore year.
Wow. So that must have really been an interesting thing. Now, I didn't get here till 1971. 65 was a completely different world.
No, there wasn't anybody here.
Right.
That was the big thing, really.
Right.
And but we had the lake to ourselves, which was great. And I was very fortunate to have a boat on the water, the family boat on the water, and we spent a lot of time on the lake day after day. And as kids we lived on the lake. If we weren't in school, we were on the lake.
Now in 1965, the trees were still sticking up out of the lake.
Yes.
And now that had to be an interesting situation to have to navigate.
Yeah, you stayed pretty close to shore, particularly along the North Shore, along the what is now the island.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get very far, 100 yards or so out. You were in a forest, literally a forest of trees out there. So you had to go a roundabout way to go to get to the landing across
right.
the lake.
So. Now, 1965, did we have a gas dock yet, or was Havasu Landing the only gas dock?
Havasu Marina was open or about to open.
We had a gas dock at Site 6, right?
Yeah, we did. In the earliest days, now that you mention it, yes, we gassed at Site 6. But then George Foster came in and developed the marina.
Right.
And I'm guessing that would have been 66.
Yeah, that's
early
the way 66, I remember it, right.
I think. And then, of course, we could fuel over there. Expensive. Gas at the time at the marina was 50 cents a gallon, which was about twice what we were paying.
Right.
So it was expensive, but Havasu was at the end of a one-way road. You know, we didn't have a road through Parker, so getting the fuel in, I suppose transportation, you know,
sure.
to get the fuel in was a big factor. But we kept our boat full-time in the water at Site 6, courtesy of the McCulloch's. Our family was quite close with the McCulloch's.
That's wonderful.
And so
and that's a big deal to be able to keep your boat in the water.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even have a trailer for it.
You were going to keep your boat in the water.
In the water full-time, and I was really lucky to have the keys.
Oh, man.
So... We were on the lake.
You know, that's the way my buddy Steve Lindell, who's with us today. And so, Steve, how you doing?
Oh, doing good.
All right. Yeah. So he's my partner on building the Big and Crooked House boat. And so it just seemed fitting today, while we get to back up with our primary story, which is Miller's Folly, to have Steve in the studio on our 50th show. And we've known each other now for 53 years, I believe. Actually, no longer than that.
Does he have a seat at the famous De Los Santos bar named after him?
Yes, he does.
I kind of figured.
So, yeah. So, Jay, you know, years, you know, went on, and then here comes Miller's Folly popping in around, what, 1968?
68.
And so tell us, give us a little history about Miller's Folly.
The Millers moved here in 1964. From Desert Shores at the Salton Sea.
Okay.
Little community of maybe 200, mm-hmm. and that's where the Coombses lived as well. So okay. we knew the Millers from Salton.
Oh, wow.
And Cy was quite a guy. He was always building something in the backyard. I was 10 years old when I met Cy Miller.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been 1960. And what attracted me to Cy Miller was he was in the backyard building dune buggies. And being a 10-year-old out in the middle of the desert, that was,
pretty big stuff.
That was pretty big stuff.
That's fantastic.
So I hung out with the Millers quite a bit. And then when Havasu came along, the opportunity to work in Lake Havasu, my dad's company relocated to Lake Havasu from the Salton area, and the Millers moved in 64, as many others did. A lot of the early residents of Lake Havasu actually came from Salton Sea, because there was a big land development project over there, large scale, mm-hmm. called Salton City, about the same size as Lake Havasu, mm-hmm. huge development, and Holly was the was the sales agent, so McCulloch picked up Holly.
Yeah.
And initially, actually, McCulloch intended to, C.V. Wood, mm-hmm. intended to, quote-unquote, build Lake Havasu in-house. Mm-hmm. And actually, they did start some work in 1964. But they brought Trico in, and that whole thing was turned over to Trico. Early in 1964.
Well, now you actually brought up an interesting topic, because when you asked me where the radio show was, and I told you where it was at, you said we're in a historic location as we stand.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, but actually, I haven't been in this building in decades
since it had a garage.
And since oh yeah,
wow,
yeah. The Trico offices were fronted Lake Havasu. Or on McCulloch Boulevard, as these offices do, but it was the whole west wing.
Gotcha.
Okay. I was a little...
turned around.
I was a little turned around. I thought it might be this wing, but...
Right.
But...
Doesn't matter. It's all the same building.
It's the same building.
Well, plus, it used to be gray. And now it's white.
Right.
And the McCulloch offices and the Holly offices were everything on the north side of this building.
Oh, wow.
So... If I'm not mistaken, even the IDD first offices were in this building until they built their new building, which is...
The Irrigation Drainage District.
Exactly. Yeah. So all the players, so to speak, to build the city...
We're here
in this building.
Wow, that's really something.
Which is probably why they built it in the first place.
Well, and so I guess it's just such a great... Well, how fitting for the Pioneer Radio Show to be here.
Yeah.
So... What do you suppose possessed Cy Miller to build Miller's Folly?
Well, he did build, again, in his backyard in Salton, he built his own pontoon boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he had a little bit of experience in boat building there, aside from the dune buggies. But the Millers were well known for their parties,
uh-huh.
house parties.
Right.
And they were always well attended. Whole house full of people, you know,
sure.
again and again and again and again, and they just thought, geez, be fun to build a big party boat, big enough to hold a house full of people, and that's what inspired it, really, was to get to move the party
onto the water.
Onto the water.
Wow.
And they did that in style. So the Miller's Folly was 60 feet long,
okay,
20 foot wide, double decker. It was a paddle wheeler.
How tall was it? Approximately.
Two stories.
Let's see. The diving board, which was added later, was added to the top rail of the top deck about 14 feet.
Okay.
Okay. Was the diving height.
It fit underneath the London Bridge.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So it's at least two stories high.
Oh, yeah.
And another 14 feet for the diving board, so, right? So that's like 34 feet.
The diving
high.
Board was right on. Yeah, yeah. So it's when you look at the photos, you know, you realize that it is quite a ways off the ground. Now, what made Miller's Folly so unique, you know, as the city grew uh-huh. and we had events that were primarily underneath the London Bridge. That was our staging area, if you will, where people would bring their lawn chairs. Well, Miller's Folly was the stage.
Oh, I got
so you. We'd bring Miller's Folly up, and then you would watch the cloggers. They would get on top. You would see them perform. I can remember as a kid seeing my mom up on the boat being one of the cloggers. And, you know, it was fascinating, you know, to see how the community came around and did that. You made do with whatever you had, and you never felt that anybody was giving up anything. You actually thought it was probably the most innovative thing you'd ever seen, and it was really fascinating.
Well, the building of Miller's Folly was, in a sense, a community project.
Yes.
It was all donated materials, donated time. It only took 53 days to build.
Wow.
There were no working plans. Odds were 5-1 against it floating.
Right.
It did float. Jim Sterling did the electric.
Yep.
Abbott's Carpet did the carpet. The paint was donated. Right. 55 gallons drums
wow.
of white paint to
were,
paint it.
Were wow. there any certifications needed before you could put it in the water?
I don't know. It did have an AZ number.
Okay.
I was not able to find that number.
Right, right.
So I made something up for the model, but I've seen photos of it with an AZ number, so presumably at some point it was licensed to go on the water. Coast Guard at that time here was pretty hard to find.
Do you know how many horsepower it had?
The original engine was a 1948 flathead Ford V8, so what's that, 80 horsepower or something?
Somewhere in there.
80,
we'll have a mechanic call in here anytime and remind us about what the horsepower is.
And behind the flathead Ford, he mounted two transmissions end-to-end to get the gear reduction down to what he needed for the ultimate, you know, for the paddles,
sure.
which were driven by a Ford pickup differential that was repurposed for that. I think the gear ratio was like 108-1 or
sure,
something.
Sure.
And it would go about 6 miles per hour
right.
top speed.
So that meant it had to have a rudder on the front, right?
Had a rudder on the front. And it had individual side took advantage of using the automotive differential in that he had individual braking left and right for the paddles, so he could brake one paddle and then he had the rudder.
Oh, that's cool. That's something I didn't know.
So that's how it was.
So that helped in the turning.
Exactly.
Right. So, well, I'll tell you what, we've got Jay Coombs with us and Steve Blundell for our 50th show. We're going to take a quick break, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back. Going to run some Christmas music. But this is more, I wouldn't say the era of the early 70s, but it's an early 70s artist, James Taylor and Natalie Cole, right? Can't go wrong with that.
No,
but,
you can't go wrong with
of course,
that.
The song's politically incorrect by now, you know. It's Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Right?
All right, back with more in a moment. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 50. Give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. You want to congratulate us, share a memory, or just be on the air. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
Baby, don't hold out, but it's cold outside.
If they find me in a snowdrift with a bite.
Dan's kind of getting into it. Little blues from Leon Russell.
Oh, yeah. Leon, he makes it rock.
It's called Christmas in Chicago.
Yeah, it's awesome.
With Leon Russell. All right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. It's show number 50 right here in the KNTR studios on McCulloch in the historic Woods Building. We're going to just have to call it the historic Woods Building now, right? Will that work for you, Jay?
Works for me real well.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Springberg Wealth Management. By Patio Paradise. Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop here in Lake Havasu City. And by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's Superior Maintenance Plan. And our Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor, thank you so much to Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating.
Well, good thing they got heating because it's just about time for it.
I know. I opened the slider last night just to kind of, you know, ventilate the condo, and got kind of cold around 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Right, right. Well, a big hi out to Jim Tedeschi. He's saying hi to Jay. And Jim and I run the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page, where you can find more information about Lake Havasu, all the historical photos and stories at Havasu Pioneers, one word, on Facebook. And so I'm here with Jay Coombs and Steve Blundell. And Steve came out from Barstow visiting me, and he is one of the original owners and builders of the Big and Crooked with me back in the day. And we had our own homemade vessel on the water, which a lot of people are familiar with. And it also has a model down at the museum. And Jay and I were talking about that a little bit, and how we seemingly seem to be brothers in the model business in the museum, and they have both a unique history, and we're hoping for great things down the road when it comes time to display them properly. Right, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's the plan.
So, Steve, what do you remember? What's your most fondest memory about the Big and Crooked?
Well, God, I think the graduation under the bridge and the prom.
Wow.
That the proms were, that's just, it was incredible. To, and given it, what the Judge Milo Matur.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was the security guard down there at night. And he had to give us community service for a ticket we got.
Oh, yeah.
Like 17 people without life jackets.
Yeah,
wow. We gave him a tour. And that was incredible.
We launched without an AZ number, so we got like 7 tickets added up to be $800. Might have been $80,000.
What year was that?
1974 when we launched.
Oh, wow. You probably didn't even make that in a year.
Well, Pat Griffith gave us a ticket, and he thought that was going to take us off the water, and then be done with that. And then Judge Milam liked the boat so much, he waived the fee. Gave us some hourly community time, sat with us, and just wanted us to tell him about what life was like as a kid and on the water. And he was so interested in what we were thinking so that he could better do his job, right?
Minimum wage was probably like $1.50.
Oh, that was big wages.
Right.
Yeah, there were 75 cents an hour wages
still
at that point.
Unbelievable.
So, Jay, you know, the boat now, Miller's Folly, is on the water. Here we are, and, you know, it's in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, and the boat was an iconic element. You know, what other functions did it fulfill that you recollect?
Well, most notably, from a historical perspective, the Miller's Folly participated in the London Bridge dedication in 1971.
Wow.
I guess it's my understanding, per tradition, the Lord Mayor of London, Sir Peter Studd, and his entourage boarded the Miller's Folly at the Nautical Inn, and they were transported to the London Bridge celebration aboard Miller's Folly. And it's quite an entourage, I guess, 12
dignitaries, if you will.
Dignitaries and what have you. And so that was probably the most notable event historically. Coincidentally, in 1971, after the celebration, Cy and Estelle Miller moved to Aspen, Colorado. Jim Schulte, Cy's best friend, the Schultes, had also moved over from Salton. And dune buggy enthusiasts and what have you. Cy's best friend was the co-builder of the Folly. Cy sold the Folly to Jim for $1. So,
I know you got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the right way to do it right there.
Yeah. So the Schultes continued to use the Folly in the finest tradition, which included, as you say, events under the bridge. I know there was a United Way showboat event every year, mm-hmm. and it participated in that. And of course, every year there was the annual celebration of the dedication.
Yes, and the London Bridge Day's celebration, right?
Right. Until 1978.
That was a sad year.
Well, everything changed in Lake Havasu in 1978. Robert McCulloch passed away in 1977. And through the Back and Decker deal, the McCulloch family lost control of the McCulloch oil.
Right.
Right.
And
which included some of the holdings, right? The property? And
everything, basically. And it's not a coincidence that Lake Havasu City was incorporated in 1978. But
how so? The
folly. I'm sorry?
How so? You say not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. The new regime.
City government.
Uh-huh. Well, the new regime, McCulloch regime, their mission was to dissolve the various.
I got you. Okay.
They wanted out, basically.
Right.
Get out of the land business. It took years to do, of course.
Okay.
Right. I got you.
They had already sold off the chainsaws and what have you.
Right. So McCulloch became Black & Decker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And, Poland, I think.
So everything changed. Yeah. And whereas prior to 78, Havasu was kind of a company town, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
No longer. So the city incorporated in 78, and the Folly lost its birthing spot because the Folly was birthed at Site 6 full-time, courtesy of the McCulloch family. That privilege went away, and there was really no place to keep it. And then vandalism became a factor, and so they decided that the best thing to do was scuttle it.
And we were actually right around the corner from Miller's Folly, mm-hmm. in the back of the cove. That's where we got to keep our houseboat, courtesy of the McCulloch family. And so we ran across that same situation.
Okay.
We had to start finding different locations on the water because, you know, we at that point, we did have a trailer, but it's not a boat you were pulling in and out of the water very often. So tell us, what happened next?
Well, it was scuttled in 1978, and 18 years later, divers found it. And at first, they weren't sure what they had found, but
scuttled, was it sunk on purpose then?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
The day it went down, as I recall the story from a couple people who will remain anonymous, it was very challenging because the initial location where it went down was not deep enough.
Oh, no.
And so when it went down, apparently it was still sticking out of the water.
Still saw the diving board, huh?
And so they had to take off the top of the boat in order for that to be accomplished. Years later, it actually got, I believe, pulled back down into a deeper segment of the lake so that it was not a concern for other deeper watercraft. And
very sad, though.
I was not here at the time, so I really don't know any of the particulars around that. But I understand it's in about 25 feet of water.
About what year was that?
1978.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, the interesting thing, Lee Shoblum told me this story, and I have laughed every time I thought about it, because all of a sudden we have this guy who apparently worked with National Geographic and whatever the case may be, and he heard about the boat, the paddle wheeler, and he comes down and he thinks he's found. There's only one in the history of all the paddle wheelers here along the Colorado River from the 1700s. There's one missing. They've all been accounted for, and they can't find the one. They're not sure where it's at, and he thought he found the missing paddle wheeler from back in the day. Well, everybody in town knows that it's not that. They know, but they're not saying anything. And the guy's announcing to everybody that he's found them missing historical battle. And Lee Shelblum knows this. Uh-huh. And eventually, when they sent divers down on top of the boat, they see everything that they thought made sense until they found the flathead V8.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
So that's in a history in itself, if you will. So we're taking another break. We're here with Jay Coombs, Steve Blundell, and it's our 50th show for the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Right, right. Brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. How about a little Lynyrd Skynyrd going to break?
Sure, let's do that.
I didn't even know Lynyrd Skynyrd did Christmas music. I had
neither
no clue until yesterday.
And there may be a reason for that.
There might be. All right, back with more in a moment on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 50. Back with more in a moment.
You guide my sleigh tonight. Then all the reindeer loved him as he shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history. Bells will be blue.
All right, a little Ann and Nancy Wilson. Of course, that's from the 70s era, right, Dan?
Yes, ma'am.
Little Heart. Did you say yes, ma'am?
No, I said yes, ma'am.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Get your hearing fixed.
Yeah, for sure. Why do you think my volume's up so high? All right. You got to get your headset on, man.
There we go.
I'm going to put you in there. Right. What was that, Jay?
I said I saw Nancy Wilson perform at the Coconut Grove as a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Arizona Financial Credit Union, Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006. And don't forget to shop local because small business is kind of a big deal. And our Havasu Pioneers radio show sponsor on this 50th episode, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating.
Well, we're here with Jay Coombs, and he is the man responsible for building the Miller's Folly model for the museum piece that is there for everyone's pleasure. And I got to tell you, it's an amazing display. So we have a question from the public, and that is, Jay, you'd made a comment about Miller's Folly possibly not floating when they first put it in. Were there any provisions to make sure it floated?
Extra barrels. Yeah, they had extra barrels on hand. The pontoons were fashioned from 55-gallon oil drums end to end. They were saddled in... they were saddled together.
That's right.
Not
people
welded
don't, they
together,
weren't, yeah. They were not, even they weren't strapped up either. They had a half of a 55-gallon drum chute, if you will, a saddle. And when one would get a hole in it and sink, they would pop another one in with a bar
they
and pop it up underneath it.
They could replace them individually or add two as needed.
Right.
So.
And there were two rows on each side.
Nearly.
Okay.
Yeah. The inside row didn't quite go to the end of the boat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. They came short of the paddles themselves.
Right.
Okay.
So we've talked about the boat and all its amazing history on the water, but now we can talk a little bit about its history under the water.
Well, I don't have a lot of history under the water, other than I know it was, I think, 1996. They found it. They dove again, and they weren't sure what they'd found. They dove again shortly after and realized that it was, in fact, the Miller's Folly. But over the years, it's my understanding that it's Havasu's fifth most popular dive site. So
it is. I've heard that from several dive groups. People from other countries have talked to me about, they don't know a lot about Havasu, but they know about the paddle wheeler under the water they're going to dive on, and it apparently it's an iconic location for divers.
Well, it's there for people to enjoy, and we're hopeful that anybody that dives on the site will be respectful of that,
right,
in the sense of trying to preserve it.
Right. And it's remarkably still intact. Now, the top is gone, but
well, they
the paddle
took the top,
wheel is
as you
there.
Said, they took the top off
yep.
prior to scuttling it, so they
right.
because of the depth of the water, obviously,
right.
they took the stacks off and what have you. But other than that, I really don't have any.
Well,
any
you know, so
history.
Then, you know, years later, here comes Jay, and somebody came up with the idea, let's get a model of Miller's Folly for the Lake Havasu City Museum of History.
Well, my incentive, really, to build the model was because of my connection. I've had a close connection with the Miller family since 1960. It's complicated because my relationship changed over the years through marriage and divorce and what have you. I'm particularly close with Cy and Estelle's granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
Tammy Miller Davis.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband attended the exhibit opening, but I'm particularly close with Tammy. And really, my incentive to build the model was for Tammy.
Good.
Initially. But then, on the other hand, the museum indicated that if I built it, they'd display it. So.
And then you had to go get all the material, the photos, and the collective effort to get the data and photos to build the model.
Well, fortunately, a lot of pictures were taken, mm-hmm. most of them party pictures, most of them people pictures, but nonetheless, volumes of photographs that I was able to go through. And fortunately, Jim Schulte, we were able to meet two or three times with Jim Schulte, and he was very helpful with questions I had with regard to dimensions and other features of the boat. So it was with photographs and through Jim Schulte, I was able to put together a model that is truly representative of the original boat.
You know, I guess, you know, when I think about a display, they've had several interesting new displays at the museum, and they get a good turnout, but Miller's Folly was an amazing turnout. I was there.
It was a great turnout. It was standing room only. We couldn't be more pleased. I really would encourage people to go down and check it out. We're really proud of the exhibit. I want to thank Virgil Vendito.
Mm-hmm.
For his help in putting the exhibit together. Wouldn't have happened without him. He's my neighbor and best friend of 25 years or so. Very talented gentleman, and he put together the storyboards. We have storyboards. We have an 11-minute video, professionally done, that he did. We have underwater photography, courtesy of Joel Silverstein, that's included. Great photography. And then the scale model, of course. So there's a lot to see. It's an exhibit we're proud of, and it's been well received. And as you say, the opening was great. But
I was particularly taken by the video. You guys did a really great job on that.
It runs through February, through the end
of
February.
So our listeners got plenty of time to see it.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, this is the question I always get right after they tell me, I've lived here all these years, I've never been to the museum, or I didn't know we had one. Where is the museum?
The address is 320 London Bridge Road. That would be 86403, I'm sure, if you're going
to. Jay just gave our listeners no reason now to not go. He nailed it.
Yeah, the right. Museum's open from Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 3, and that's donations only.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
And we would really, I think that people would enjoy the exhibit, and hopefully.
And there's so much to see there. They've got all the McCulloch componentry from beginning to end.
Yes.
You know, we've got history of the paddle wheelers dating back quite a bit. Of course, our own personal interests are the big and crooked. We have the model of that down there with a brief history. And quite frankly, after seeing what you did with the exhibit, I'm inclined to try to put something together that is a little bit more explanatory about the big and crooked, so we'll probably follow up with something that is a little bit better suited.
Well, they're talking about doing a permanent display down there for both boats.
Right.
Look forward to getting together, working with you and the
same
museum,
here.
And we'll put something together that works.
I'm really looking forward to it. So,
Dan, I have a question.
Yes, go
Where's
ahead.
The big and crooked now?
It is at the Lake Havasu City dump, about 50, 60 feet underground.
Oh, okay. You guys buried all the evidence, huh?
We did, actually. It was homemade. And quite frankly, that could have easily happened in Miller's Folly had they not sunk it. Because where are you going to take something like that?
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's not a boat you really turn around and sell. You don't go and go, hey, Marina, I need to get a slip for click.
Or maybe for a dollar.
Maybe for a dollar.
Good point. Good point.
So Steve Blundell's with us, and he was talking about our prom night underneath the London Bridge. Now, if you can possibly think how interesting it might be to take your own homemade houseboat to your own prom, and you're dressed up in your tuxedo and show up at the dance floor with your boat, and you had your own apartment right there, we were a very big sensation, I
you
might
had
say.
Fun.
We had so much fun. We actually took it across the lake, spent time with the Indians across the lake and all the families in Havasu Landing. So it really had a Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn history to it, if you will. And to this day, all of us are still good friends. So our next show is going to be coming up in January. And I wanted to say thank you to everybody again for being part of our 50 shows. You know, one thing that I wanted to impress upon everybody is that our next show, I'm really trying to get a couple of folks that were airline stewardesses on the McCulloch flights. And I know they're probably listening in, but turns out they weren't just airline stewardesses on those flights. It was like Led Zeppelin and all the great bands that leased the aircraft. So I'm hoping I can get them to respond and come to the show. Our next show will be January 3rd, and that will be at 11 a.m. in the morning. And
so big announcement.
Yeah.
January 2nd is our first show of the new year.
Oh, wow.
And just confirming this morning, first time that I know of on Speak Out, Dan Roddy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, first show of the year. He's a great guest.
Dan and I
was great on our last Pioneer show.
He's on our board with the Kids on the Colorado River program, which I know Jay and Steve and all of us homemade houseboat folks are very supportive of. Quite frankly, the program is because of things like what we're talking about here today, so that these kids have the next generation of opportunity. So, man, great day. Great.
Ready to go to break?
Ready to go to break.
Okay, we're going to wrap this one up. Did you want to come back after the break? Or
no.
I could do a little bit of community calendar. And
Yeah, do community calendar.
All right, you bet.
We'll see you folks
next. Dan's a producer today.
See you folks next month.
All right, one of my favorite Christmas songs while we're in this era, The Kinks, Father Christmas. Little Ray Davies, back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 50. Don't forget, you can find it on our website after the show. It'll be after 2.0. We'll post both shows. But it has its own section on the KNTRTalk.com website called the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Just click on that link and you'll see all the shows right there. All right. We'll see you in 2 minutes.
My brother a Steve Austin outfit. Don't give my sister a Kirby toy. We don't want a Jinx or a Monopoly money. We only want the real McCoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. We'll beat you up if you make us annoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. But give my daddy a job, cause
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. A little community calendar, pretty cool event going on this Saturday, December 9th. You got it from noon until 2 p.m. If you like mimosas, get on over there to the Joshua Tree Spa, right down the hall and down the elevator from us on the first floor of the Woods Building. And they'll have a live demos, 20% off retail, exclusive holiday gift sets, spa packages, raffles, 928-302-3152. Give Amber Shea a call. And I don't think there's an RSVP required, though. It's a free event, again, at the Joshua Tree Spa. It's called the Beauty Brunch this Saturday, December 9th. Nothing on the sports station today, but you've got Thursday night football tomorrow night with the Patriots at the Steelers. And then Friday, we've got a late ad. The Suns are playing the Sacramento Kings, and that's a 7 p.m. tip-off. Saturday is the Army-Navy game. No Cardinals football this week. They're on a bye. So we'll have a full NFL lineup, and you can see all of that at kntrsports.com. All right, coming up next, Speak Out 2.0, after news and a short break, and keep it here all afternoon long on 106.7, 5, and 3, The Voice of the Free. You got the Sean Hannity Show, of course, Mark Levin at 4 o'clock, and Bill O'Reilly at 7.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3, The Voice of the Free.